is day four at Guarec.
It is our final day at Guarec.
And we are shattered.
And it's also going to be our final show. So
yes, final show.
No five shows for you guys, just the four.
It's been hard, actually, trying to, you know, doing these shows. It's been more work than we expected.
Do you think?
I think so, because, you know, because we've been here in the carpa, and we've had to pull people in, and mixing has taken longer than I expected.
I think mixing has. It's definitely shown a few sort of features that you need to add into Jacocha.
Like working, that's a feature that you need.
Like the big don't be shit button.
A little overly harsh, really, when you're not even on 0.1 yet.
Yeah.
In this show, we'll be talking to Bastien Nocera.
Yes, from Red Hat. He's going to come
Red
and talk
Hat
to us about
Philippe Normand and Jan Schmidt from the Eliza Project.
By popular demand.
By popular demand.
Logging into
and they both work at Fluendo. Fluendo in Barcelona and Fluendo in Lyon. So
before we do those things, we're going to talk about Guarec and what it's meant to us at the end. But I want to say thank you very much to the Guarec organisers and the GNOME Foundation for inviting us to come here and be official media partners.
Yeah.
It's been a blast.
It has been a blast. We've enjoyed it.
A blast.
We did, you know, for them what they hoped we would do.
Yes, Wes, and we should also give a big thank you to our fantastic mirror maintainers who've not buckled under the load. So
come through in a pinch.
It's been great. So
let's get the show on the road.
Okay, we've got Bastien Nocera. How are you doing?
I'm doing fairly well, a bit rough.
So tell us, why are you doing a little bit rough?
I know, it's called cerveza.
You've been at the forefront
among other things.
You've been at the forefront of Guarec's drinking team for the last 4 days.
Yeah, well, when drinking sessions involve people like Matthew Garrett and Daniel Stone Black Vodka.
Black Vodka?
Yeah.
Does such a thing exist?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Have you seen Matthew Garrett this morning?
It's a bit weak, is it?
I've seen Matthew Garrett.
He was looking rough.
Yes.
I just saw him this morning at half past nine, 10 o'clock, and he looked like shit. He really did.
He looked like he'd just been run over by the beer truck. It was not good at all.
Yes. Much like yesterday morning, then.
And the morning before in fact.
So what's your overall impression of Guarec this year? You enjoyed it?
I must say that I was a bit wary of what could possibly happen. Because... as opposed to the other years, where the organisation was very secret and a small select group had access to all the information and how it was going to be happening.
Sure,
Kim Gill, not Quim Kim. Be sure about
who would be immature enough to call him that.
Yeah, there's about 10 people pissing themselves laughing.
Kim Gill was very open about.
Yeah.
How much was going to be spent and what it was going to be spent for and how things were going to be organized.
Mm.
And even though there were some niggles about the overall organization, I really think that just the fact that we managed to set out a whole week for the conference is
it's brilliant.
It's been really well organized, hasn't it? I mean,
wind up, wind down.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's come out really nice. Any particular highlights? Apart from France winning, obviously.
Smug bastard.
I think that we were just in the right place for that sort of event.
Yeah.
Cool.
France winning because the Catalans were behind France. nothing really in particular, but just the fact that we were able to... we could see an awful lot of new faces.
Yeah.
For example, some translators of the GNOME project and an awful lot of different people and
so new energy coming in.
Yes, you can really see that, you know, an awful lot more people got involved in the past year, and it was the first time that they were able to, you know, make it into to such a conference because getting to places like Kristiansand and Stuttgart, very expensive.
Yeah.
Obviously, getting to the GNOME Summit for somebody that's based in Asia or in the Middle East or even in some
Mongolia.
Other parts of Europe, it would have been very hard.
But didn't you think that this year, I mean, this year compared to last year there was some cool stuff showcased, but this year there's some really, really cool stuff. There seems to have been more development between last year and this year, and the year before and last year, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think that the main difference is also Nokia's involvement in the in the community. That brought out a lot of money, and obviously an awful lot of interest on the people.
Yeah.
No, it's got. I mean, some of it might be this year. It all looks a bit cooler because it's applications being developed, not structural,
not framework
stuff,
yeah.
Not frameworky things.
Yeah.
Well, things like telepathy, for example, yeah, I really think
framework. Yeah.
Yeah, could be disruptive technology. I mean, if you saw, and I think that you can check the slides online. If you saw Lewis's presentation yesterday, when Lewis will show back up in the GNOME community, well. Don't really think that he's going to be able to stay that much away from it, but
yeah.
when he really tells us, you know, when he's not trying to hide from us, and you know, feels a bit less guilty about himself when he's got everything sorted out for his law degree, he's going to be able to communicate with people, and I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah,
you know?
It totally is. Yeah.
Didn't you think? Speaking of Lewis's presentation, didn't you think how cool was that presentation? It was a real rousing thing at the end, and it
quite emotional, really.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think it was quite an emotional thing, and a lot of people felt. I think you could feel the community there and then. I mean, you feel the community at GuardEC anyway, but at that moment, the way he kind of summarised it all together, and I think it's been filmed, so people who aren't at GuardEC can listen to it and watch it. But
yeah,
it was really cool.
It's very emotional. I think that Jeff Wu managed to get that same sort of feeling last year, but it was much more about the software, about what we could achieve altogether, about what the community could achieve.
Yep.
But here it was more about the human part of that very same goal.
Gnome is people. That's exactly what Lewis people. Said.
Yeah, the interaction with projects like OLPC also makes GNOME something very special.
Yeah,
cool.
There seem to be more people focused this year. I mean, for example, we said it yesterday, but even the for example, at the MAMO party, there was a band on and people were having a good time, and there was a real kind of everyone very closely knit. Whereas at other conferences, everyone fucks off in different directions. You know, there was a sense of community on some of the evening things, which I thought was quite cool. So,
I think that, you know, togetherness, you would get that sort of togetherness when you've got free booze. Free booze.
And food as well. You see, the food was nice.
Excellent. Okay. Cool.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. We'll see you at Lug Radio Live.
We will certainly see you at Lug Radio Live.
Good. Nice one.
Absolutely fantastic.
Cheers.
Bye. Thank
Cheers.
You.
Okay, we're now talking to Philippe Normand from the Eliza Project.
Yeah,
And we must stress that the reason why we're interviewing you, we think it's cool, but we've had a request from our listeners to get you on the show because people think Eliza rocks.
Yeah. Really?
So, yeah, you're doing a good job there.
Yeah,
so
thanks.
Tell us about Eliza.
Well, it's a Python GStreamer media center which aims to be cross-platform, and it has a pluggable framework which is easy to extend, and basically we aim to remain simple and easy to set up. So
it's a really cool looking project, and it seems cool not only in the fact that it's written in Python and it uses GStreamer, but all of
and
the
OpenGL too.
But the OpenGL stuff's really good because the Myth TV guys are working on that for the next generation version. So has that been hard to write? I mean, have you found that?
Well,
difficult?
We've been working on Eliza for the past 4 months now.
4 months.
Yeah. And we are two developers working full-time on the project.
Four months is not long.
Yeah,
and
not
you've
very
created
long.
quite a lot.
We work hard, all night long.
This looks like a man who drinks coffee up his nostrils. So,
yeah.
So how far are you away from it being done?
Well, we have planned a release, a preview release.
Cool.
at the start of July, so that people can get started with Eliza,
yeah.
Wow.
Play with it, and but basically it's a preview release. We need to work on the documentation, the specification of Eliza,
right?
To attract more developers on the project. So
you, have you got a roadmap on the website?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Is at the moment you're working on the DVD player? Is that right?
Yeah, we plan to integrate the Fluendo DVD player. Probably Jan can tell you about this.
Well, I'm working on the Fluendo DVD player. We're still a couple of months away from having a decent beta of
right.
that. But the eventual plan is that it will be integrated with Eliza and you'll just be able to
play.
Seems
to be working pretty well on the stand.
Bits and pieces of it.
Right. Smoke and mirrors, yeah.
Right. A little bit.
So what's been the hardest thing so far about writing Eliza?
Well, we had to design a full-blown widget system and also build a renderer using a Loic coding performances and
making it quick.
We also designed a plugin framework,
right?
Quite easily using Python X.
Yeah,
and we still need to had many thoughts about what features we will bring in for the first release.
Yeah,
and we thought a lot about that. Yeah.
So I mean, one thing over the last three or four shows. It's been quite evident that GStream has powered a lot of things here. Why use GStream? I mean, is it because you work for Fluendo? I mean, obviously you work for Fluendo, who are a GStreamer company. But were you employed to work on Eliza, or did you work there beforehand?
I was employed to work on Eliza.
So it was a technical decision to use GStreamer?
Well, at the beginning it was a bit hard to get in GStreamer because it's a full framework, and but the documentation are great. And Fluendo people are here to help us, and they do a great job. Yeah,
they certainly do. Yeah. So where would you like to see it go? What's the future for Eliza? It looks cool now. Where can we see it going?
We need to bring in PVR features, IPTV, voice over IP, video conferencing, and also family network features, so that members of a family can share media together and do social things on the TV. By the way,
have you found it useful being at Guadec?
What?
Have you found it useful being at Guadec?
Surrounded
by all these coders and...
Yeah, Guadec was a great event for us. We had some great ideas from people coming at the booth, and we had some good feedback from them, yeah.
Excellent. What's been your favourite thing at this Guadec? What's been the best thing?
The best part of Guadec for you?
Well, I pretty liked... simply putting a face on people, standing on the IC and meeting people, which will do a great job on free software and meeting great people. Yeah.
Do you think that? I mean, obviously, Eliza's been it's been the talk of Guadec for a lot of people. Do you think that it's going to attract more people to come and contribute to the project?
Well, let's hope it will. We need people to work on Eliza, and we need developers.
Yeah.
We need contributors. So
let's use Lug Radio as a medium to get more people to hack on and to contribute to Eliza. Are you looking for coders and artists and documentation writers?
Yeah, coders, artists, also for translations.
Yeah.
And basically... people who use Eliza do bug reports and give us some feedback so that we can improve the software.
Okay, where can we find Eliza?
You can find Eliza at http www.fluendo.com/Eliza.
There is E-L-I-S-A.
Z.
There is a SVN repository. We will do a freeze at the beginning of July and roll up a first release so that people will be able to try, and we probably also package Eliza for Ubuntu and probably Fedora. Yeah,
that's great. Well,
excellent.
Keep up the awesome
exactly
work.
What I wanted.
Thank you.
It's really, really good. Thanks for coming on.
No, you're welcome. Bye.
After many, many days,
Many sweaty, sweaty days.
Many sweaty days.
Many sweaty and very, very tired days, to be honest with you.
We are at the end of Guadec.
We are at the end of Guadec.
And we are
It's not actually
tired.
Guadec, though, is it, that's tired you out?
I don't agree with that at all. I've been at Guadec while I've been drinking 14 pints of beer every day and going to bed at 5:30 in the morning.
Have we been to bed before 4 any morning?
No.
No.
I mean, I think I did the one night, and possibly last night as well, but you two, no.
No.
4:30, 5 o'clock every day all week.
I know for a fact that I haven't had more than 4 hours sleep a night, every night.
Yeah,
and maybe 5 hours.
And I have to say, I'm not 19 anymore. I'm not sure I can do this.
It's been superb.
Really. It has been brilliant.
It's my first Guadec, and I think it's your first one as well.
It is,
yeah.
Yes.
It's just been an amazing event.
It's been an amazing event. We've seen some incredible things, met some absolutely awesome people.
Yeah.
It's been very well organised. The weather's been beautiful. The food has been absolutely shit.
What struck you about Guadec then? What's your overall takeaway?
Takeaway, I'll get confused.
My overall takeaway was that Mexican we had last night. No, I think the thing that I think's been striking about it, and unusual to a large extent, is the very intense sense of community there is.
It's really surprised me, actually. Yeah, very much so.
I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, there are, we think about 400 or so people here?
Something like
at least.
That.
But I don't think there are 400 people who are involved in all the social stuff. It's not necessarily a bad thing at all.
Right.
But I'd say that's, you know, maybe 150 people.
Yes, yes.
So I don't know whether you call them the core community. But, I mean, largely that's the social side anyway, not the technical side.
It's like you said last night, we were talking about this last night when we got back, and Ak made the valid point that it's the same people who end up out every night. You know, it's people like Bastian Nocera, Glenn Foster, Robert Love and his cronies. You know, the
cronies is a bit of an unfair word.
the Fluendo guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same kind of people who end up out most nights and in the bar. But
it doesn't mean they're more valuable contributors to Guadec. But
so what struck
it
you
is
then,
interesting.
I agree that the sense of community is really impressive. And the strength of community, comparing it to last year, is even stronger. I don't know whether that's because I'm more involved in the gnome community now than I was last year. So therefore,
that's Jono at KDE.org.
I'm seeing more of it. But there's kind of we're not wanting to sound like an American soap opera, but it seemed a lot more emotional this year. There's people a lot more wanting to be with each other because they're part of the gnome community, if you know what I mean. I mean,
what on earth are you babbling on about?
Lewis Villa's talk, I think, pretty much summed a lot of that up. And, you know, just, I mean, like Bastian, when we interviewed him, in the show, which will be on later. You know,
Spanner.
he kind of suggested that kind of side of things as well. So,
yeah.
Mr. Bradshaw?
For me, the first couple of days, I've just been overwhelmed by the technology around.
It's phenomenal, isn't it?
Some of the applications that are coming out or are out now, it's just amazing. And the majority of them all seem to be based on GStreamer.
Yeah.
And I think that's a testament to GStreamer. It's almost like being the G for Guadec has been GStreamer. It's been the GStreamer user and developer.
There's no doubt about it that GStreamer's had a very, very strong presence this year. I mean, last year, the extent of it really was Edward's Pidavi talk.
Yes.
In which he was demonstrating that you could seek with GStreamer and it felt like a real application.
Yeah.
Whereas this year, it's not just Pidavi, obviously there's Eliza and Chikosha.
Bear in mind that we're a bit more associated with the GStreamer guys than with other sides of it anyway.
But even then, I think you can't...
I'm certainly not going to downplay the impact of GStream and GStream applications on Guadec as a whole
in the GStream.
No, no. I mean, obviously there are other projects around that don't use it. I mean, it hasn't really been an entirely GStreamer conference, not at all. There's loads of other cool stuff here as well, but just the technology here and also how clever the people here are. It's just overwhelmingly clever.
Yeah. I mean, something that's struck me about it is that the project, I think, is looking a bit for a sense of direction. There's lots of people talking about Topaz, Gnome 3.0, the next breaking thing, but there's no overall sense of where the hell it's going to be. So everything's very much in exploratory mode. You've got a lot of people doing sort of demos of newish concepts. Mirko Muller's Low Fat, Alex Gravely's Gimme, things
like
that.
It's an established desktop,
the telepathy people. Yeah, I mean, they've now got a firm foundation on which to build. But it's all been quite exploratory and tentative, I think, this year, the technology I've seen.
I think the problem that the GNOME community has got with GNOME 3 is that, for example, whenever people talk about GNOME 3, they're talking about where they want the GNOME desktop to go, and accepting the fact that it may change, that you know the way that GNOME works, it may change relatively radically. I think part of the problem is that it's become the stuff of legend now. You know, people talk about this mystical GNOME 3 and about what's going to happen. And
I mean, there's no way it can ever live up to the expectations that have been put upon it.
But the problem is that it's going to require either a very prominent character, someone like Havok.
There are loads of prominent characters.
But what I mean is that for them to, for someone to stand up and say this is the direction, it's going to require either sheer arrogance or a very prominent celebrity within the GNOME world.
Because no lack of either of those, really.
No, and because it's just there's so much hype around it, and my concern is that.
But the community is not fragmented in any way.
Oh no! But what I'm saying is that. It's a bit like, I'll give you an example. It's a bit like when we recorded our first album in Seraphidian.
That's Seraphidian.
Seraphidian.com. When we recorded it, we were so determined to make it sound good. You know, there was so much expectation in there from us and from the people who were associated with the band that it was never finished. And That's the thing with GNOME 3, is that there's so much expectation. I think everybody's waiting for a bolt of lightning to come down and say, this is GNOME 3. And that's the hardest thing, I think, is that it's just a feeling, it's just a vision, and it needs some solid direction. It needs someone to say this is where it's going, this is what's going to happen, and we're starting to see some of that.
Bear in mind that in order for someone to say that, they've got to have an idea of the alternatives among which they can choose.
Yes,
and that's what I think people are doing at the moment. They're still in the exploratory stage of working out lots and lots of different possibilities, at which point someone will take a step back, look at it and go, what we need is we want that project and that project and that project and that project. They're all good. Imagine you went, okay, the direction GNOME 3 is going to go in is a combination of Gimme and telepathy. But alternatively, it might be something completely different. It might be low-fat and something else. It might be something that hasn't been invented yet, whatever. But that it's still this cool. it's still this very kind of exploratory, tentative, feely kind of, what you know, maybe we could try this sort of feel to the conference.
So, do you think we should announce where Guadix is going to be next year?
Yeah, we should do. Aha.
Go on, then.
I'll let you. Drum roll. So, Guadix 2007 will be in the beautiful city of...
Birmingham,
England.
UK. Yes, it will.
There's people in Alabama going, yeah!
Oh, no, got it, I guess.
Fantastic. I think it's fair to say that we will be there.
We will be there, yes. Yes, we will.
Yep.
Quite fair to say we're probably going to be media partners again.
Hopefully, yeah. We're definitely going to be there. There's
fantastic.
No,
I'll be able to get on the bus and go to Guadix. That's going to be quality.
What will be nice is that, you know, if we are media partners at Guadix, next year is that we'll be able to have decent equipment instead of this mishmash of audio.
I cannot
audio.
Wait to see where the projects that are going to be at Guadix 2007.
Mm.
I mean, if you're saying there was a gap between like what was there in 2005 and what's there this year, I can't imagine where we're going to be next year.
The
existing projects will have stabilised.
Yeah.
Jacosha will be at
version 1. Then there'll be all new stuff.
Network Jacosha will be out.
Hopefully.
It will.
Jacosha on the 770 will be out, as we discussed last night.
Yeah, I mean it's the you know, just edging back a little bit to the GNOME 3 stuff. The one concern I have is that at Guadix last year there was a lot of discussion about GNOME 3.0, and at Guadix this year there's a lot of discussion about GNOME 3.0, but there's not been any radical solidification of direction, and that's
in the last 12 months.
And that's something that concerns me quite a lot, because if you look at the KDE team, they've stood up and they've said, this is what KD4 is going to be. We've got a direction. We've done loads of snazzy web 2.0 style websites. This is the direction we're going in. This is what we're going to do. Here's a roadmap. Let's get on with it. And the concern I've got is that unless the GNOME community actually make a decision, it's just going to keep on dragging on. I don't want
it's going to stay in exploratory mode.
I don't want to get to
Guadag
next year and people be having the same kind of hairy fairy discussions about GNOME 3.0 next year.
What version of GNOME are we on now? 2.12?
2.14.
Right, okay.
2.16.
We don't need to go to the version 3 by next year.
No, but we do need to go to version 3 at some point soon.
But equally, you can say that we need to have a clear idea where we need to go.
Yeah.
So there's no point starting something before you even know where you're going. You
no,
need to
agree.
Definitely
I agree, but the point is that people were saying exactly that this time last year.
But you're not ready yet.
And in between last year and this year, there's been no clearer indication of where we need to go. So I don't see why there's going to be any clear indication in between this Guadag and next Guadag.
That's the thing. I mean, what's to say that in 2 or 3 years' time, people are still talking about...
are very strong characters here, though, that will, I mean, take you know, hold of it and actually lead it somewhere, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, but I suspect if I was one of those... strong, prominent guys, you know, they're sort of half a dozen or a dozen. I'd probably think, I wish I didn't have to stand up and say, make it so. I wish it would happen without that kind of de facto leadership thing.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry about the crackling. It's AIDS lead.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, so, no more about GNOME 3.0. Any final thoughts on Guadag, how it's been for you this week?
It's been brilliant. That's the best way to sum it up. It's just been brilliant.
It has been awesome.
And it's going to be interesting to see what it's going to be like next year. And it's been brilliant seeing all of these people. I think there's no doubt whether you look at... whether you're a GStreamer fanboy or not, there's been a very prominent GStreamer presence. There's been very prominent presence from organisations who are... like Imendio and
Nokia.
Open Hand.
That surprised me. Just how involved Nokia actually are in open source.
It is quite reassuring to see small software houses who are building stuff on, like Imendio, like Open Hand, who are able to turn up to events like this, put their name down for sponsorship,
work
on the software and get it going. It's great that we can foster that kind of company, you know.
No,
a big presence from Nokia... there are people from Sun wandering around and Red Hat and whatnot. And great.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay, thank you very much. This is Lug Radio, official media partners of Guadag from Guadag.
Slowly fading into tiredness, as you can probably tell.
And we've got a plane to catch.
And we've got to get, yeah, we've got
Thank you very much. And we'll see you at Lug Radio Live in 3 weeks' time.
Yes.
Bye.